Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you." But with all the evil and chaos going on around us, we can get fearful and question the truth of this scripture. Does God really care? Well, today, Janie and I are investigating the resume of Christ's character in the Gospel of John. Every chapter gives us at least one example of His affection towards us. So join in the conversation as we uncover Christ's love most assuredly. I think we can all agree that over the past couple of years, our whole world has been turned upside down. And in that, there has been uncertainties, there's been unknowns that we don't know how to walk in. And the goal that we want to have as believers is to be assured of God's presence at all times, no matter our circumstances.
I couldn't agree with you more. And these troubled times have caused us to get very perplexed. And unfortunately, we can make it harder than what it really is and complicate matters when we try to avoid what the Lord has planned for our lives, commissioned in our lives, ordained for us.
Right.
And so the best way of not getting caught in this trap is to know Him and the power of His presence. And Jesus, like Christ, is no longer trapped in time and space, having to walk on planet Earth in divinity and humanity, but just being in one place at a time.
Right.
His Spirit is here to lead, guide, and warn us in knowing how to walk under His control with His love. And some of the evidences that we can really find on that love is how He talked to John in the Gospel of John. And John has such a unique way of showing Jesus Christ's sufficiency in anything we can come into contact with. And as I was reading, there was a promise, there was a comfort in every chapter. Every chapter has at least one aspect where the Lord gives you what He has done to care for you, no matter what we're encountering now. And the fact that the Lord prayed in John 17:17, that, "Lord, don't take them out of the world, but preserve them in the world."
Mm-hmm.
He has given us something in each chapter.
So kind of like a resume for the sufficiency of who He is for us.
That's good. Shall we say that this is the resume of the character of Christ?
Oh, okay. All right. Well, did you know that Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you," 26 times He said that in the book of John.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I guess He says His word is pretty important and we need to hear or listen.
Most assuredly means truly, truly. I am telling you the truth, most assuredly. You can rest assured in what I am saying to you.
Do you know, Sharon, how that hits my heart? And that is, if we have anybody listening today that may not know Him as their personal Savior, and then to see how He has already taken care of all of their needs in their state of unrepentance.
Right.
But that they can look to see what He has already secured for them, even when they don't even want Him.
Right.
Boy, if that's not love, I don't know what it is. And then for the struggling believer that says, "I know Him, I know I'm out of hell and I'm into heaven, but I can't trust Him because this has overtaken me and that has happened," and what do we say? Blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
That you can just go through one little book of the Bible and have such confidence that you wonder, why do I ever worry or stress?
Well, let's just look at some of the characteristics on His resume. In the Gospel of John.
Okay. All right. Well, I tell you what, one of them that I like, it's not the very first chapter, but in chapter 3:2, he knows our struggles when we question him. Mm-hmm. And he answers us not according to our questions, but according to our needs.
Oh, yes. I love that.
Nicodemus came to him secretly at night because he didn't want to be embarrassed by going to Jesus because he was of the royal government.
But, you know, Janie, a lot of times we want God to answer us the way we want.
Yes.
You know, that's not what I asked you, Lord. I asked this, and we're looking for that specific answer. And so when God answers according to our need, we sometimes think he's not talking to us. He's not answering us. He's not listening to us. And so we have to have a willing heart to be pliable and to have open ears to hear him, that in our struggle, we may not know what our need is. And so we have to be willing to listen.
And communication is such a difficult art. Haven't you probably even said that to your husband? You're not listening to me. This is what I want. And then your husband says, I'll fix that by what you need.
Right.
Around the house or with the cars.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a very common dilemma that we get into. And so to be still and quiet and be a student of study so that we can see the conversations that he gives us and the similarities that he's consistent in. So we're really talking about a conversation of heart to heart.
Right, right. Well, I like in John chapter 4 that Jesus knows our past. And our example for that is the woman at the well.
Mm-hmm.
And so all that shame and guilt and all the things that we are embarrassed about, that we don't want anybody to know our past, God knows our past. But he speaks to us according to our true identity, which is what he did for the woman at the well. He didn't let her past or her present condition change his care for her.
She was there at noon because she knew the other ladies wouldn't be because of her past. And you know what? When the Lord confronts her, it's not with a finger, look, woman, I know what you did. He never offers her condemnation in her current circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times people say, well, I can't come to Jesus right now until I get my life fixed up.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that, Janie.
I heard it last week.
Oh.
I heard it last week. Well, I'm going to come to Jesus after I get some things straightened out in my life. And I was a little sarcastic, I have to confess, because I said, well, if you can get them straightened up to where you can come to Jesus, then you really don't need Jesus. And if that's the case, maybe I should just start worshiping you if you can fix your own problems.
Oh.
That's what you call a hard saying, but it changed the mindset. So we need to recognize that Jesus does give hard sayings without condemnation. And when he told her everything she had done, and she knew that he knew, and then he sweetly said to her, I can give you life. Go and sin no more. So you see how it is to be able to even say hard sayings with the gentleness of a true heart in humility, thinking of others more than themselves.
Well, many times, Janie, we won't see the blindness that we have until we hear the hard sayings. If we're constantly given soft sayings and kudos, we'll never know that there's anything that needs to be fixed, that needs to be changed. We'll be blind to our sin forever. So we need those hard sayings.
So we need to be made uncomfortable when we're in danger.
Yes.
And I think of the illustration of somebody saying, if you saw a little one out in the road with an 18-wheeler barreling down, mm-hmm. you would push that child down and aside to not be hit.
Right.
But the child might get up and get really ugly at you because you had hurt them
right.
when actually you were saving them.
Right. And so when our eyes are opened, then that's when we start seeing ourselves full of shame and embarrassment, and we might feel guilty. But in John 8, we have the story of the woman caught in adultery as an example of how Jesus can remove those stains.
And you know, the deepest stain really, Sharon, occurred in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve chose to think independently according to their own understanding.
Right.
And you know, that's a stain that Jesus Christ has corrected. He did it by giving himself at the cross.
Right.
But we also know that there can be some, shall we say, residue left over by stains where we have made poor choices, and then we don't allow the Lord to cleanse our hearts. And those stains are like bad filters in the brain.
Oh, okay.
All right. And so,
when we keep those things, we filter through that.
Yes. And have you ever had a really great outfit that you got a stain on and it wouldn't come out?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It didn't remove the worthiness of the garment. It didn't remove the function of the garment. But you always looked a little embarrassing having that red ketchup stain.
Right, right. So you didn't ever want to wear it.
Right.
Okay.
And you have to realize that Jesus says that he has taken care of all of those stains, and that's why you can walk in freedom when you listen to him and what he said he did at the cross.
Right.
But the cross, if you do not understand as he has taught it, makes us very uncomfortable. Who wants to die to self where you have lived for self your whole life?
Right.
Who wants to have to discipline themselves in being a good soldier when you just want to have party and a good seminar?
Right, right.
Okay.
Food, fun, and fellowship.
Okay. So, but the Lord says the deepest stain he has purified and cleansed, but he had to do it. We couldn't take the stain out.
Right, right. And today we have so many resources at our fingertips that many times we try to do everything ourselves. You know, we can protect ourselves. We can teach ourselves, train ourselves, all of those things. And there comes a place where in our heart of hearts that we can long for security that we can't grab a hold of, no matter how many locks we put on the door. There's an insecurity within us. And Jesus gives an example of how he can provide everything that we need in John 10.
Oh, you mean by putting you into his own shepherd's fold,
yes.
And then being the door so that the robbers that want to come and rob and steal and destroy, they have to get past the doorkeeper.
Right.
And that's Jesus Christ.
Right.
But those sheep that are in that sheep's fold must know his voice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise a false shepherd could try to stand at that door and impersonate the true shepherd. And unfortunately, we have some men today and maybe some women that want to be the impersonator of the good shepherd rather than being the example
of the
good shepherd.
Right.
All right?
Right?
Because the thief comes to destroy, but Jesus says, I am come that they might have a life more abundantly,
mm-hmm.
in total security. I'm the good shepherd, but I have given my life for you to be your shepherd. Now, know my voice.
Right, right. And our security comes in knowing the promises that he gives. We can be secure in those things. And it really gives us a security for our future, because he has given us a future even in the unknowns. And I think right now we struggle because there are so many unknowns that we really spend more time questioning God and complaining to God rather than sitting in His presence and trusting Him in the security that He has promised for our future, even with all of the unknowns.
Sharon, and what is so wonderfully comforting and assuring is that Jesus knows our future unknowns, including our future failures.
Okay, yeah, that is comforting.
And Peter did not know that he was going to deny the Lord three times.
Oh.
The Lord did.
Yeah, he foretold that.
He foretold that. And in John 13, he says to Peter, "Will you lay down your life for my sake? Well, most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times." Now, that was future. Mm-hmm. Peter probably didn't have a clue what the Lord was talking about.
Right.
But here is the Lord's already smoothing the troubled heart, because Peter would remember, and the Bible says he went out and wept bitterly.
Mm-hmm.
But in the discourse with these red letters, there's hardly a breath said until Jesus says, "Oh, but Peter, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe in me also. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself." Now, I cannot think of more comforting words after I had just committed the biggest debacle that I would ever do in my life. Well,
right.
Peter may have had a few more. He had a great temperament, and by the way, he was instrumental with that strong, impulsive, speak too soon, because he gave his life for the church, and he was a great influence in the growth of the church.
Right.
We should never get discouraged with our mess-ups.
That's true. It's hard to not get discouraged with our mess-ups.
And do you know what helps me the most? Is the little saying I always say, when I mess up, God fixes up. But it's because He has taught me how He fixes up, to give me a history sheet that I can go back and have my faith reassured.
So you can rest in Him even in your mess ups, even in your...
And do you know what that produces, Sharon? That produces a joyful, grateful heart. It's like going into a courtroom where you're pretty sure the jury is going to declare you guilty, and they come in with, "No, not guilty."
Mm. Okay.
What a relief it is to not get what you expect you deserve.
Right.
And you do deserve.
Right.
But the blood of Jesus Christ has already taken care of that.
Right. So we don't have to worry about performance. We don't have to perform perfectly for God. We just need to rest in Him.
And now, this is a hard saying, learn what it's like to let Him take control of your life without you losing your personality or your temperament or your disposition.
Okay.
But letting Him live His life through you, with Him being the power source, but you are the representative of that power here on earth. Because let's just face it, as we said earlier, Jesus is only in one place at one time when He walked here. Now there's no limitations to where He can be with you in your daily walk and me with my daily walk when we might be separated by miles or we may never talk.
Right.
But we're working together as one because He's not limited by time and space.
So we can bring all of our life to Him and allow Him to prune us.
Oh,
mold us, shape us.
Oh, Sharon,
right?
stop with the pruning now. That hurts just to think about it. All right?
Okay.
Okay, when you first have a little grapevine, mm-hmm. you cut it back.
Right.
Okay, and it produces more fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you cut it back a little bit more, and there's a greater abundance. But the time comes for a fruit vine to really appreciate producing its maximum capacity. You have to be cut back or pruned to the very original of where the stalk came out.
Oh my goodness, Janie. You're talking about all the way back down to the root almost? Janie.
And then you think, Lord, what happened to all those years when things were plentiful?
We're growing, yeah. What do you do with all that?
Well, the pain, believe me.
You're killing me.
I can feel the pain as we speak. And yet, that allows a richer fruit grape.
Okay.
All right.
Right.
But some of us will not allow the pruning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're still attached to the grapevine. We're still a grape, but maybe a little shriveled up.
Oh, my goodness, Janie. You know, 5 years of growth is gone. And so you almost feel like you're starting over. And if I apply that spiritually, but it doesn't apply the same way, really, does it?
No, and I stop and think about even in your children's growth. As they grow, you have to cut away some of the elementary securities they have.
Exactly.
And this is pretty plain, but they do have to give up their diapers.
Yeah.
They do have to give up their bottle.
Yes.
And you don't immediately give them steak. All right.
Okay.
But there comes a time when they don't have to go back to the diapers, but they're stepping into a new chapter of their life, knowing that what they had formerly was necessary for their growth,
mm-hmm.
but recognizing they need a new beginning for their future growth.
Right. Right. I've seen that with my kids, and there are times of new growth that you have to cut away some things that they've relied on you for to allow them to mature in areas that they're not secure in.
That's right. And that really brings you to a thought in John chapter 19 where you really get the ultimate of maturity. And that is when Jesus was hanging on the cross, mm-hmm. making everything else that we've talked about today real. He was still serving others mm-hmm. with true agape love. He was concerned about his mother and John looking after his mother. He was concerned about the thief on the cross. One was still cursing him and saying, if you're the king, why don't you get off this cross?
And then get me down.
And then, yeah. And then the other one was saying, Lord, remember me. And the Lord said, today you'll be with me in paradise. So everything he's talking about in giving us growth, comfort, security, freedom from stain, freedom from anxiety, freedom from fears, is so that we one day could walk as he has walked in not doing his cross, because I can't die for you twice. If I have enough love for you to die for you once, I'm dead.
Right. Right,
I can't give you the light you want.
Right.
But then he says, now, but you take up your cross so that we can see in the likeness of how he always lives for others. Deny yourself. Put away your feel goods. Put away your temporal pleasures. Put away what you like about the world. Put away your compromise. Put away looking at what's going wrong and focus on what I have provided for you for what's going right, not only for today, next week, next month, but forever.
Right.
And for the unbeliever, that's hope eternal. And for the struggling believer, it's the reason that he can do. It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do for you.
So we need to focus on the promises of who Jesus is all through the scriptures, and we can trust him most assuredly. That's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHart's.org. That's Sharon, SHARIN, Hearts, HEARTS.org.